Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Good morning. Again, thank the church for your ministry this week to Billy's family, and what a blessing it was to see you all come and lift up and encourage this sweet family. And I want to say hello to all my Teen Challenge brothers. I'm so glad y'all are here today. Y'all welcome them to the... And guys, we'll have y'all back in after Easter, and... let you all minister and do the things that you normally do here about once or twice a year, and take up a generous love offering for you to support the ministry. I believe in the teen and adult challenge ministry, don't you? Let's give God one big hand of praise for them. Hallelujah. All right, we're in Luke 15 this morning, and just kind of tying all this together, Brother Billy's going to start in Jonah this morning in adult Sunday school, and that's going to tie in real well with these everything that we're doing on Wednesday nights. We're learning how to share our faith. We're doing Best News Evangelism training on Wednesday nights. Y'all come on back for that, if weather permitting, Wednesday. And preaching this sermon series called Lost and Found out of Luke 15. And so I'm grateful for what God's doing, and I will tell you, I want to see God do something only He can do here. Did y'all come looking for that this morning? Did you come anticipating, expecting for God to move? Well, if you don't do that, it's not going to happen, because God inhabits those who give Him praise. And so I'm praying God will move mightily in the service today. And as we... And the only thing that really does matter is your relationship with Christ. And we've got a bunch of folks in Montgomery County that do not know Him. In Luke 15, Jesus reveals that God loves lost people. God loves sinners. And He illustrates this truth three times in Luke 15 by revealing some things that are lost that need to be found. And, you know, whenever a lost person comes to faith in Christ, heaven rejoices. I mean, it's shouting time in heaven when a hell-bound lost sinner comes to faith in Christ. And it ought to excite us as well. And did you know that the great big heart of God beats for lost people to be found? And we need to be out looking for lost people. We need to be out trying to help them find the Lord. Aren't you glad God found you? Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're in Luke 15 this morning. And by the way, there's a special promise for those who go out looking for lost people. It's in the Great Commission. It's in Matthew 28. Talks about us making disciples. And the promise at the end of that is, lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. So, you see, if we'll obey the go, He'll supply the low. If we will obey the go, He will supply the low. So that's a great promise to count on. Let's look at Luke 15. Let's stand as we read verses 8, 9, and 10. And, you know, the reason we stand is to honor God's Word. If I've been able to do anything here in the last almost 3 years, I pray that you honor God's Word, and you obey God's Word, and you apply God's Word to your life. God's Word is eternal. It's forever. So let's look at it. Luke 15, here's the second parable about lost things. Verse 8, or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, She calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over just one sinner who repents." Oh, have mercy. Isn't that good? Mike Rainey, ask God to bless the word today, would you?
Father, thank you for your word, how true and accurate it is. Father, we just appreciate this holy word so much.
Thank you, Lord.
Pastor, as he preaches from these scriptures that he's just read to us, that they may burn in our heart, Father, that we might receive the words that are shared from the pulpit this morning, that they may encourage us and strengthen us to go forth and help find those that are lost. For it's in Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Please be seated. In our parable for the morning, you've got a woman who had 10 silver coins, and she has lost one of them. and you know, sometimes we lose stuff, right? And so we can identify with this story. But you remember, she had 10 coins, and she loses one of them. Remember last week, there was 100 sheep, and how many of those were lost, got lost? One. So you had one out of 100 last week. Now you got one out of 10. Looks like to me the percentages are going up or down, whichever way you want to look at that. But here's what I want to begin with, how very, very serious it is to be outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a serious thing to be lost. It is a horrible thing not to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You all, most of you all, not all of you all, but most of you all know what I'm talking about. There isn't anything better than Jesus. Y'all have tried Him, hadn't you? And so that's in the beginning of this parable. That's the deal. God is being portrayed here almost as a woman who's looking for her lost coin. Lost people are special with our great Lord. And so let's take a look at this parable. And there's the role of the Holy Spirit. This is some good stuff here in Luke 15. First of all, we see the sorrow of being lost. The sorrow of being lost. Did you just hear this woman's and sense this woman's concern and her anxiety? She's lost this coin. Or what woman having 10 silver coins if she loses one? Just doesn't light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. This silver coin that she had lost was special to her. It was equivalent to one day's wages. Just one silver coin equivalent to one day's wages. It was very significant to her. Money, after all, was scarce in those days, and money today is. Yeah, it goes out real easy, doesn't it? I remember about 30 years ago, I had a little light landscaping lawn care business, and there was a fellow that was working for me that day, and we were over at Dr. John David Lida's house. Y'all remember Brother John? And we were working for him. We had mowed his lawn and we were mulching his flower beds and doing leaf removal and all kinds of things. After we got done, I mean, that yard looked pretty good. And Brother Lida came out of the house and he wrote me a nice check. We'd been there all day. And so I get home and after I'd gotten cleaned up and stuff, I got to looking for that check. And I couldn't find it anywhere. I looked in my pants pockets, my coat pockets, and the more I began to search, the more anxious I got. And I went out to the truck, and it wasn't in the truck, and I looked everywhere for that check. I was tore all to pieces. That's the way this woman was. This coin was valuable to her. and you know, it was important for monetary purposes, but what you also need to know is that in those days, a lot of women would wear a headband, And those 10 pieces of silver in the headband, people would see though, and that was a reminder that she was married. She belonged to some old boy, you know. And it's kind of like the wedding band we wear today. It tells you. And so when there was one of those coins missing, it spoke volumes. You know, that headband wasn't quite as beautiful as it was. It was incomplete. I don't know. You know, before COVID hit, I used to go to the hospitals almost every day for people having surgery and, you know, and a lot of ladies in my time in the ministry have had surgery. And you know, I just love, our ladies are beautiful. Guys, y'all should have said amen. That was just a setup for Valentine's for you right there, and you missed it. Anyways, down through the years, I've had some women tell me, don't you come to the hospital. And what I found out later is that some of these folks, some of these ladies had false teeth. And they didn't want me to see them without their teeth in, you know. And I guess kind of, you know, the other day I saw a beautiful lady. And then she opened her mouth and she had a missing tooth. You know what I'm saying? Come on, y'all. Lost things. Sometimes, so when something's missing, it affects the beauty of that person. And even in some cases, not every case, but back in the day when the lady had 10 silver coins up here in this headband, whenever one was missing, that said to people that she'd been unfaithful to her husband. And so this coin is very valuable to this lady. It meant something to her. And can I just tell you, your soul is very valuable to the Lord. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Life is valuable. Your soul is valuable to the Lord. Several years ago, I did my brother-in-law's father's funeral, Billy Frank Smith, Shan's dad. And he was being buried over in East Tennessee. And we drove all the way over there after the funeral service here and met the funeral directors and everything. And so I didn't know where the cemetery was. Shan did. So he and Susan went on in their car. And I went with the funeral directors to the cemetery. And we pulled into this beautiful cemetery. And we were going back to Billy Frank's graveside. And all of a sudden, there's this gorgeous hill on the side of the property, and there's over 3,000 little crosses. And I said, what are those crosses about? And he said, the funeral director said, it's funny you should ask. He said, we have a ministry here at our funeral home. We go down to the hospitals and the clinics, and we gather up these little aborted babies, and we bring them back here and give them a burial. Let me tell you something. Your soul and you are valuable to the Lord. I'm so thankful that God loves the little children. And He loves you and He loves me. This woman was concerned and upset over the fact that she didn't have her one coin. One of the 10 had been lost. Now, I want you to notice what all's going on here. The first thing she did was, what did she do? She lit a candle. And she held that light up. You know, what does light do? Well, it runs the darkness off, right? And so she's looking for this coin. And you see, the fact that she lit up a candle, a light in the house, tells me that that coin was in the dark. Hello. I mean, maybe it was in a dark corner or under a table or a couch, and she needed light to expose that lost coin. Lost people are in darkness, spiritual darkness, and they don't even know it. I've talked to some brilliant people since we've been home in Clarksville, And man, I'm talking brilliant folks, knowledgeable about everything, and you bring up something spiritual, and it's like, phew. You see, lost folks are in the dark, just like this lost coin. And that coin was not only in the dark, it was down in the dirt. This is so applicable here for us this morning. Now, she didn't have a beautiful tile floor. She probably didn't have nice wood floors. Now, they had those in the palaces and that kind of stuff, but not in the average dwelling, not in the average home. It was a dirt floor. And so that dirt, that coin was down in the dirt, covered up with dirt and grime and filth. And can I just tell you, this old world soils our hearts and stains us in a way that that leaves us just dirty and filthy. That's what sin does to us. Our hearts are dirty because of sin. Now, y'all, I'm just preaching truth to you. You won't hear this in a lot of places. But we need to understand that lost folks are in the dark and they're covered up by dirt and filth and the things of this world. We're swimming today in a sea of sexual immorality. We are drowning in a cesspool of idolatry. We've talked about some of these things on Wednesday nights and what we've got to do to get through to folks with the message of the gospel. And I want to tell you, the heart, Jeremiah says that the heart of a man is deceitful and desperately wicked. That coin was down in the dirt, symbolic of the fact that we're dirty outside of Christ. This is an amazing truth. Notice that coin that she's looking for. It's lost, but it's in the house. It's in the dwelling. Right? Did y'all get that? Don't miss this. Don't miss this. You don't have to be in the gutter to be lost. Nice, kind, upstanding folks can still be lost. Just as lost as the drunkard in the ditch, just as lost as the loose living prostitute, just as lost as the dope peddling pusher. You can be lost right there in the house, just like that coin. And I want to tell you, there are church members on every church roll that have never been changed by the power of God. You remember the rich young ruler? Remember that story about the rich young ruler? He was a morally, he was ethically, he was what we would call a good man. He kept the commandments. You know, he treated folks right, but he had one major problem. His God was wealth and worldly possessions. And when Jesus pinned him to that and said, you take care of all this stuff, then you can come follow me. And he walked away. There's good folks in the house that are lost. I would encourage you, in my ministry of, I don't know, pastoral ministry of 26, 27 years, I've seen dozens of church members get born again. Dozens. And there are some lost folks here today. Every service, whatever kind of service you're in, there's always a lost person there. By the way, if you're here, God put you here. He brought you here. Now, I'm not here to make you doubt your salvation, but I'm going to tell you what, if you're a little bit antsy right now, that ain't me, that's the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me so far? I want to encourage all of our Sunday school teachers and workers and servers here, go through your church role. We ought to go through our membership role and look for lost folks. Well, how do you know folks are lost? Well, you know, really the only two who really know whether I'm saved is me and the Lord. But Jesus said you can know people by the spiritual fruit that they're bearing. And if there's no spiritual fruit, there's no spiritual root. So take a look at those roles. Take a look at them. Oh, the sorrow of being lost. And then there's the search for the lost. And in verse 8, the latter part of verse 8, we see the role of the Holy Spirit in this passage in saving lost people. This lady lights a candle, begins sweeping the entire house. She's going to painstaking efforts to find this lost coin. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He seeks lost people intelligently. He uses light to illuminate a dark heart. You know, when humanity first sinned, when Adam sinned, it left all of us in poor shape. Amen? And we all continue to walk away from God. All of us were born with a dark heart, and when we proved that, when we chose to sin, even when we knew it was wrong, and we did it anyways. And so, folks continue to walk in darkness. You know, if everyone was interested in Jesus, we wouldn't be able to get them all in here. There is a ton of lost folks out here. And there's a couple or two or three, ten. I don't know how many. There's some here this morning. People are in darkness, and they don't even know they're lost. And so what the Holy Spirit does, He begins to shine and illuminate truth in a lost person's life. He uses the Word to light up that old dark heart of the lost sinner. What is the script? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a good. You know, the Bible is a wonderful book of truth. And the Holy Spirit begins to draw people and illuminate their hearts with truth of God's word. Aren't you glad Jesus is the light of the world? He is the light of the world. And unless the Holy Spirit, listen to this now, unless the Holy Spirit turns the light on, people are still in the dark. I've told you all that story about when we first went to Mammoth Cave. Some of you all have had a cave experience or a real dark place, and you got in that dark place and it was so dark you could put your hand right up to your face and you couldn't even tell the difference. And then all of a sudden, somebody turned the light on and you could see. Are y'all with me? Anybody had that experience? I'm so thankful for the light that Jesus. I was a 9-year-old kid, y'all, and my mama and daddy had me in church every time the doors were open. I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church every single Wednesday and Sunday. And yet when I was 9, I was lost as last year's Easter egg. I'd heard all about Jesus and all this stuff about sin and da-da-da-da-da. And then one Friday night at Montgomery Bell State Park, I'm sitting there on the side of the hill. My pastor, John Light, is preaching on the prodigal son, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, ding, 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 and turn that light on. And I realized I was a sinner. First time I ever realized it and knew it. And boy, the next night I was so tore up. I told my dad and my mom what you know. And so we sat down on the bed, my bottom bunk bed, and I was wonderfully and gloriously saved. And I've never gotten it over. And I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit turned the light on that night. Glory to His name. But y'all know when the light comes on, everything looks better. I said when the light comes on, everything looks better. Have mercy. And then the Holy Spirit not only seeks lost folks intelligently, He seeks lost folks diligently. He gets the broom out. He's not only the illuminator, He's the agitator. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He stirs the pot, boy. I mean, He does. That's His job. And this lady, now get this picture in your mind. This lady has turned on the light and she is sweeping the house with a broom. I mean, dust is flying everywhere. She's stirring up dirt. She's sweeping in every nook and every cranny, looking diligently for that lost coin. I am so praying for a Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, Christ-honoring, devil-fighting, strong preaching move of God in this place. Have y'all heard what's going on up at Long Hollow Baptist Church in Nashville? There are dozens of people being saved and baptized every week up there. They're enjoying revival, spiritual awakening. Why? Because the people are asking God for it and the Holy Spirit's working diligently. And there's been hundreds of people saved and baptized in the last 6 or 7 weeks up there. Wouldn't y'all like to see that happen here? Well, it's not God's will that any might perish. But you'll find, you get real surprised. If you get in some gospel conversations with some people this week, you'll be surprised at the Holy Spirit's doing. He's working on college campuses right now. He's working down at the ball field. Amen, Billy? You found the Lord working at the ball field. That story about old Brian Rush and Billy, I love that gospel story about how Brian Rush got saved. The Holy Spirit turned the light on for him, and he got it finally. The Holy Spirit's working. I talk to Taryn just about, 3 or 4 times a day, and the Holy Spirit's working right now in the hospitals. I know we don't want to go to the hospital. But I want to tell you, once you get over there, the Holy Spirit's there. Amen, David Fry. He's working. He's moving. And he's everywhere. You may be sitting here this morning and you're feeling just not quite right. You're uncomfortable. Things just, you know something's out of place. Can I just tell you, that is not me. That's the Spirit of the living God drawing you, pulling you, wooing you. This is so, such a horrible, he wants to be your Valentine and a whole lot more. And if you're here today, and you've got something going on deep inside, you know it, nobody else knows it, but you know it. That's the Spirit of God. And you'd better respond and do what God's telling you to do. Don't you quench the Holy Spirit today. Don't you grieve the Holy Spirit. You do what He tells you to do. The Holy Spirit's seeking lost people. And I'm so thankful for that. Here's one final thing, and we'll close with this. Let's look at the significance of being found. This is so, so good. Look at verse 9 again. And when she had found it, the coin, the silver coin that she'd been looking for, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." When this lady found that lost silver coin that was in the dark, that was in the dirt, that was in the dwelling, she found it, and the first thing she did was call her girlfriends. And they began to celebrate. Have y'all ever seen a bunch of women getting happy? Have you? I mean, really getting happy? They're laughing and they're crying all at the same time. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And, you know, they're crying great big crocodile tears and they're smiling and laughing and their makeup's running. They're passing the Kleenex around and you'll walk up to them and say, "What's the matter? Who died?" "Oh, nobody died. We're just happy." That's what's going on here. Her friends, her neighbors have been praying. And she's found that lost coin. What do you think she did with that lost coin? I'll guarantee you, she picked it up and she squealed like Diana does when she sees a mouse. And don't you think she dusted it off and then she got some polish and she began to shine that coin up and she put it back in her headband. And now everything's right. Like it should be. Did you catch verse? Watch this. Verse 10, lean in. Get this. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over just one sinner who repents. We ought to throw a fit every time somebody comes to Christ. We ought to get right. That lost coin added to her beauty. She proudly put that thing back in her headband, and it's shining for everybody to see. You know, when a lost soul is saved, God picks that lost sinner up out of a miry pit of sin and degradation and begins to shine him up. God never meant for us to be lost. God never meant for us to be dirty or in the dark. God wants us to be saved. He wants us to be found. Why? So that you can shine for His glory. Oh, y'all, that is so good. The Bible says that you were created for His glory. I heard somebody say it last week. The reason God saved me is because He loves me and I was going to hell. No, friend, the reason God saved you was for His glory. And He's working on you right now. He's shining you up. And bless God, you're going to be a trophy of God's grace that shines for all of eternity. Whew. My buddy James Merritt sent me a text this week about a very prominent evangelist. The news has come out. And Dr. Merritt had him come preach the Southern Baptist Convention Pastors Conference back in 95 or 2005. And this fella was a great speaker, tremendous theologian, great Bible teacher, evangelist. I mean, fantastic man. And it's now come out that he is abused and raped and did horrible things to a lot of women over a long period of time. And Dr. Merritt called me. I could just hear his tears in between the words. My brother, my sister, I want to ask you a question. If that could happen to Ravi Zacharias, that could happen to any one of us. And I want to ask you today, I want to be point blank, are you absolutely sure that you've been born again? That you have been saved by the power of God. And there's a difference in your life today than when you were first saved. And if there's no difference between, now I'm not talking about a little child who was saved at 7 and now they're 8. I'm talking about adults in the room. If you're not any different today than when you claimed to have first met Him, you're not shining like you're supposed to. Because God loves us too much to leave us the same. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I want to, first of all, ask you to forgive me for missing those divine appointments that you've made for me to share my faith with lost folks. I need to go looking for lost people every day. I need to have my spiritual eyes open to those that are lost that are around me. Oh God, help my heart to beat for the same things that your heart beats for. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that we would be the kind of folks who are always looking to bring people to Jesus, to get in gospel conversations with family members, friends, co-workers, neighbors. Because those things and those people that are lost need to be found. Oh, please, God, make this a soul-winning church. Because God, we want to shine for your glory. And if there is someone here today, I'm speaking to you, sir. I'm speaking to you, ma'am. If you're not sure, man, today, make today the day. Just believe the Word of God. The Word of God says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you'll agree with God about your sin, and you'll ask Him to be the Lord of your life. And the Bible says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. You can be saved right here today just by believing God's Word. Agree with God about your sin. Surrender to Him as Lord of your life. And just call on Him. He's looking at your heart already. He knows what's going on. And you just say, please, God, please forgive me and save me today. Father, touch those. Touch those right now with the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here today and you've made a salvation decision to trust Christ, I want to ask you just to come forward. I'll minister with you and praise God with you. Our church will explode. We need to see some folks saved. If you've been saved here today, we want to just ask you to come forward. And I'll take care of the rest, okay? And then maybe you're here today and you need God's boldness to share with a family member. And you've been putting that off. And you've got a lost person in your family, your friends, or a neighbor, or a co-worker, whoever. And you want to bring them to an old-fashioned altar and just pray for them. Now's the time. Let's all stand as Andrew leads us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.